The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So there are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Then he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As you just heard, the text for today is the infamous divorce text that no one likes to deal with. It's a tough text, and it's considered one of the hard sayings of Jesus. In my intern congregation, many told me that they intentionally stayed home when this text came up in the lectionary. They either felt condemned personally by the text, or they worried that others would be. Unfortunately, well-meaning Christians have used this text to condemn and to shun those whose lives have been torn apart by divorce. Today, I hope and pray that we can find the grace that is in the text. Depending on how you count, 40 to 50% of all marriages end in divorce. I'd be surprised if each of us hasn't been touched in one way or another by divorce, either experiencing it ourselves, being the child of a divorce, or having a friend or family member who has gone through a divorce. I vividly remember sitting on my porch several years ago while a dear friend honored me by sharing her divorce story. Two of her three daughters also came that evening, and they spent the night inside with one of our daughters. I had expected these high school girls to watch a chick flick or do their nails, stuff that teenage girls so often do. Instead, the girls FaceTimed a mutual friend whose parents were also going through divorce. Young and old, the pain of that divorce permeated the evening. My friend also shared with me her favorite Rhymes with Orange cartoon, and hopefully some of you are familiar with Rhymes with Orange. This cartoon pictures a divorce lawyer and a client. The lawyer says, "Not everyone has a destination wedding, but everyone has a destination divorce, to hell and back." Funny, but not funny at all. Today, the disciples have been joined again by the Pharisees, who asked Jesus questions to trap him. Even though the Pharisees know that divorce under Mosaic law is legal, The Pharisees still ask Jesus whether it's lawful for a man to divorce his wife. Jesus points the question away from the legal issues. Jesus points the conversation toward God's intention for humans. He points the Pharisees back into the story of creation. He tells the Pharisees that marriage is about so much more than a legal contract. Marriage is rooted in our human identity, in our creation. Marriage is about how much God loves us. In the creation story, God made the earth and the heavens, the seas and the dry land. God made man from the dust of the ground. Then God planted a garden in which man could live and eat. God made all these things, and it was good. The creation wasn't finished yet. God didn't want man to live alone. Goodness for God includes relationships, relationships of all kinds. We like to think that God could have just gone poof and a companion for man would appear. Didn't work that way. God created all the birds of the air and all the animals of the field. A quick Google identifies some 6.5 million species, and man got to name them all. But none was the right companion. So God took the rib of the man and made a companion who was just right. God intends us to be in relationship. God gifted us relationships with creation, relationships with families, with neighbors, and with communities. These relationships, all of them, are so very precious to God. And wow, these relationships are some of the most precious things that we have too. Marriage is one of these relationships, a relationship of intimate community which God has given to us. It's a relationship even greater than the biological connection between parent and child, a relationship so important that God wants it to be maintained. In our broken world, divorce might be the best of all available options. And there are absolutely times when it is the best and the right option. Divorce, though, is not what God intended. God and Jesus is most concerned with what God intends. So, 2 points about this text. First, Jesus sides with the vulnerable. In Old Testament law, marrying was about economic and property rights. It was a patriarchal society. It's just the way that it was. And the wife was considered property, first the property of her father and then of her husband. Mosaic law permitted divorce, but only the man could file for divorce. Although most often for adultery, the man could divorce for any reason, even for something as simple as burning the toast. Once blamed for the breakdown of the marriage, a woman could be easily discarded by divorce. The woman had little recourse. She was disgraced in her family and the community. She had very little chance of being able to survive on her own. She became one of the truly vulnerable members of society. But now Jesus, as is so common in Mark's gospel, reverses things. Previously, only a man could file for divorce. But now women, the vulnerable, have the same rights and responsibilities as the men. Jesus says that a wife can divorce her husband. In this reversal, Jesus is not judging the vulnerable. Far be it. Instead, Jesus protects and cares for the vulnerables. All, everyone who has been hurt by a divorce. It's no wonder, and I hope you noticed, that our gospel story this morning ended with Jesus caring for the little children. It's not those who uphold a legal requirement like divorce who enter the kingdom of God, but it's those who, like the little children, are entirely dependent on God. Second, divorce breaks relationships. Lutheran professor Joseph A. Sittler writes that the heart of marriage is a promise. The promise that says, I love you today and I will love you tomorrow. Can you imagine God's sorrow when the promise is broken? In a divorce, relationships are not only torn apart with our spouse, but with our brother and sister, mother and father, children and friends. Divorces can even rip apart our relationship with God. What God wants then, and what God desperately seeks then, is to restore us, to restore those of us who have been ripped apart by divorce, to healthy and whole relationships. In one biblical example after another, Jesus calls his children out of brokenness, out of vulnerability, marginalization, sickness, and even death. Jesus restores creation to wholeness and makes all things and all people new. Jesus calls us to out of broken relationships, out of divorce. Jesus calls us back into the life for which God created us. That night I sat on the porch with my friend. We talked about the divorce, but we also started talking about what happens now for her. She knew that she couldn't get through the divorce on her own. She needed prayers and support for herself and her three daughters. Prayers and support from me, from her family, from her church, and from her community. She needed to know that the kingdom of God was here now, and that God's grace was for her too. She needed a return trip from her destination divorce. She needed to return to life. God promises that for us. God promises to bring us back from death to life. Jesus, as he has done so many times before, offers healing, forgiveness, and wholeness. For us, Jesus offers hope for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.